All of a sudden, the Guardian's making things very, very interesting in the American League. Playing really good baseball. They've won 19 of their last 26 games. They're doing a great job. They're not hitting, but they're hitting well enough to support some pretty good pitching. And right now, we got a pennant race going on. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. First of all, Andy, you go to New York and you sweep the Mets. Mets are a big money team. Dan and I were talking earlier. I mean, think about their lineup. You have Francisco Lindor. You have Juan Soto. You have Pete Alonso. They've got three absolute beasts in that lineup, not to mention a bunch of other guys who are pretty good. And the Guardians have Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan sometimes.
I just look at this as an opportunity. And when you look at the entire season, it's been a roller coaster. When they were in that losing streak, which I'm kind of tired of talking about, I'm probably going to let it go at some point here, but I do think it was a jumping off point for the team because we keep looking back to the end of that and moving forward and how they've been one of the best teams in baseball since the losing streak. And that losing streak was against teams that were, you know, in first place or in playoff position for most of those, and we kind of took it hard because they lost a couple games they should have won there. Now you come back in, and then you meet up with this team in New York, a place where you've never won before, Citi Field, by the way. I know they haven't played a million games there.
Only played six.
So, but they still, that was a tough place for them to play for anybody who's, I don't even know if it, for the organization, let's just put it that way. And, you know, you're able to go in there and you're able to get the wins. I mean, New York had won, but they had won like seven straight, and now they've lost four straight. So they were hot, and now the Guardians have been able to meet them and put them down. They're in a playoff spot right now. They're in that last playoff spot. The Reds are chasing them in the National League. But the way that they were able to overcome adversity in this series, I know it's just three games, but I love the way they played. They had a 5-0 lead. They gave that up. They came back and won in that game. Yesterday, it was really a no-brainer because your starting pitcher was on fire, and it was great to watch. And so when you look at this team, I don't know this team outside of Jose Ramirez has flashy superstars, right? They don't. I don't know the organization.
Well, and Jose's not a flashy superstar.
No, they don't. Really, but Jose to me is a superstar, and I think he will be to everybody in Northeast Ohio.
I would agree.
And nationally,
that.
Everybody, like, you know, when Jose steps up to the plate and you hear announcers from the other team go, oh, first base is open. I don't care if there's guys at second or third, or if there's, they need to walk him. I don't even want to see him hit. You know, you can appreciate that. We also know where everyone was coming after Kwan, right, at the trade deadline. So this may not be like the most, I'm trying to find the word that, like, people that drive you to the ballpark, and not entertaining, not, I'm not looking for a clown. I don't know what I'm looking for. But this team is about, you know, they say guards ball. I think it's kind of trite, but it's real. Like, you can't avoid it.
Guards ball is guards ball to me sounds like, well, we can't hit, so we're going to do this, and we're going to go ahead and label it.
That
said, they've won three straight over the Mets.
Jeff, if there's ever been a team to be excited about the process, this is it right here.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and Andy, that's a big part of it. Baseball, if you follow baseball, and we do, and most folks who listen to us, you know that hitting is key. Pitching is a bigger deal. It just flat out is. And this organization has pretty good pitching, and it has for some time. Yesterday, Gavin Williams goes out, Andy, and Gavin to me has been an interesting guy because he has, to me, like future ace written all over him. He's a big guy. He throws hard. He mixes it up real well. But remember, this is a guy who didn't pitch until July last year. And, you know, was out, and he's been trying to find it for a couple of years. It looks like he's found it this year. And then yesterday, Stephen Vogt stuck with him. I wonder about that. I pay a lot of attention to pitches thrown and everything else. I'm sure Gavin Williams didn't want to come out of the game. I'm glad Stephen Vogt let him go out there and throw. I am. I thought, all right, good for you. You're giving him a chance. I don't know how in that situation here in August where you would have said to a guy, yeah, we're going to take you out now. If it was April, if it was May, that might be a different story. But this is August. You know, you've been going all year.
Even
go
if it
for
was,
it.
Even if it was April or May, I'd be mad.
Like, you might you be
don't,
mad.
You don't walk guys out of.
You don't pitch a guy 126 innings in April.
You mean pitches? 126 pitches.
Yeah. Excuse me.
That's all right. Yeah, I would. If a guy had a chance for
it,
it's still about the spirit of the game.
No,
it's still about the game.
It's about protecting your talent.
I totally disagree. And so what? Maybe you throw a guy 120 pitches and you give him his bullpen session off that next week.
That's
so those bullets are there.
I
think it's ridiculous sometimes how we overthink this game. I know you don't. I don't want to see a guy go out there and throw 120 pitches a game. But if every once in a while he's got a shot, if he's got a shot for a no-hitter, let him go. I'm glad they did what they did yesterday. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, stupid analytics is going to pull him in the ninth inning, except for the fact that your new closer, was not available yesterday because he had pitched the first two games. Smith had pitched and saved the first two games of the series. So maybe that played into what was going on. But I kept thinking, analytics is going to pull him out and they'll get a team no-hitter on this thing. That sucks. Let the guy have a chance. And they did yesterday. Bravo for walking away from something that they would normally do. In the back of my mind, I thought they were going to pull him in the ninth.
And I was surprised that there was nobody up in the bullpen because I thought they were going to pull him as well. But you're not going to put somebody up in the bullpen with a guy throwing a no-hitter. You know, and that's why after the Soto home run, Carl Willis went out to the mound and talked like crazy, you know, and everything, because all of a sudden, okay, it's over. Get Hunter Gaddis up, because we didn't want to have a guy warming up while a guy's throwing a no-hitter, because that's just, you know, that's... that's just not what you do.
Didn't you think it was interesting? He said, I thought he said in the postgame he didn't realize it was no hitter until the seventh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Guys are just going. Yeah. You know, they're just doing their thing. The 126 pitches, I hope, doesn't come back to bite him. Logan Allen, two starts ago, threw a lot of pitches and wasn't nearly as sharp in his last start. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if when Williams goes out next time, he's limited to 80, 85 pitches. And
if a guy's hot, you leave him out there. Let him pitch.
I wouldn't be surprised.
We have a totally different philosophy on this.
Well,
it's the same reason why you wouldn't pull somebody out if they had a single and a home run, and then all of a sudden,
they do that all the time.
Yeah, I know. I can't stand it. I hate it.
They do that all the time.
I hate it. If a guy's having a good game, let him have the good game. Don't take it away.
But, Andy, when it comes to pitching, there's an epidemic of elbow injuries, and you have to protect these guys. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I get it, but in a no-hitter situation, leave him out there.
Yeah, well, and they did.
Yeah.
And they did. You don't do it in April or May when a guy's not up to throwing that many pitches. But the key thing for Stephen Vogt is to protect his talent. And I'm sure Williams wanted to do it. I'm sure they thought he was doing just fine, and they left him out there. Did he throw too many pitches yesterday? You bet he did.
Yeah, he did.
But we'll see.
I don't care.
I hope it doesn't affect him. Well, I hope he doesn't care next time out, and I'm sure he won't. But you must protect your pitching talent, especially on this team, because you don't have the hitting talent. Ryan is in Buffalo when he's not in North Olmsted or Vegas or Miami.
Or Austin or somewhere in Florida.
Hello, Rhino.
That's right. Hey, gentlemen. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to chime in on the just the good vibes with the tribe. I tell you, man, nothing's better than winning, but winning being, you know, the underdog, small market mentality, beating the monsters that just pay overwhelmingly and just think that they're just going to walk in there and feel we're just going to let them walk all over us because we're just a small market team. But I tell you, you know, winning obviously with a small market team is much more fun, you know, than just having a lot of money to spend. Don't get me wrong. I like winning more than anything. But I tell you, this team in particular, again, you guys have talked about a lot of it. I think it's just the environment, the tribe for years, obviously the past pretty much almost 30 years now, pretty much since 94 has just changed and just been a winning mentality. They're underdogs or they have a lot of money to spend, whatever it is, or just something about it is just... it's just a really good feeling for a tribe fan. You talked obviously a lot about the pitching scenario, man. That just, I everything is awesome with moving forward. I know that we didn't do a lot of things at the trade deadline, lost Clase, just a lot of negative scenarios. But I tell you, that mentality, that dugout, the Vaught, and just their mentality, just move forward, just pick it up and keep this thing going. I think the sky is the limits, man. And like you said, the White Sox coming up, one of the worst teams in baseball. We're six games out. Anything could happen, man. But small market is what we're going to work for. Chernoff can't really do anything. His hands kind of tied when it comes to trades. The Dolan family is really not spending. This is just what it is. But I just think it's like a Pittsburgh Steelers mentality. This is just a winning organization. And I think that's what is very contagious. But anyway, guys, great show as always. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
There you go, Rhino. Rhino in beautiful Buffalo.
I like Buffalo. No problem.
It speaks highly of you as well.
That's fine.
Which is really good.
There's a lot of really cool outdoor, like, roofed ice rinks there. I don't know. Just being honest. You want to hear a little personality, I'll tell you the truth.
Gavin Williams is turning himself into something this year. And it's been fun to watch. When he goes to the mound, and it's funny, that Austin Hedges comment that Gavin Williams made, and Dano, if you can get that ready again, we'll play one more time. I've always thought when Gavin goes on the mound, man, you can read what's going through his head just by the way he looks on the mound. And
when you're 6'6", it's hard to hide, right?
Well,
it's hard to hide those emotions.
But his expressions and everything else, he does not look like he's the most confident guy when he's on the mound. And if he doesn't have it going, you can see that it's bothering him. I want to hear again in a second here when we come back what Hedges said to him, because you're starting to see this guy emerge as a big-time talent. And you also see this team just knocking on the door. Can they still win this division? It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.